Walt Dip Tulip Road Rage. Are you sleeping in there? Are you eating a donut? What are you doing? I don't hear you.
I was trying to start the thing.
Okay. Terry said, good afternoon. Enjoy the show. Would love to hear your thoughts. Talent discrepancies are evident for sure. However, Dabo boasts player development, but players look same or worse since they arrived 3 years ago. Here are the coaches Dabo's hired. Grisham, CJ Boyd, Bulwer, Turner, support staff, Sweeney Bowers with them. Stout, Crawford, Ford, Scott, Crowder. Might be solid, but looks suspect. Where else would these guys be coaching at this level of responsibility? No prior experience for this level of responsibility is showing. Look, I think that some of these players obviously know the system. They know Dabo Sweeney. They know how Clemson does things. I think Dabo likes to be able to hire internally and reward people in that regard. I think these things are true. I also think that we've seen a move towards more veteran experienced coaches, and that was supposed to be one of the big differences in this staff. You know, the talent development thing, I mean, I think that Dabo has certainly led teams in the past, led a period of time that talent development didn't seem an issue at all. And some of these guys now have been here a long time. You know, I don't know. I think the whole talent development thing right now is overrated because I don't know that you have the luxury to sit back and develop talent anymore because that's not what other people are doing. I mean, there may be teams that have a mix like an Ohio State or a Georgia. They also have the luxury of geographic recruiting advantage. You know, Clemson doesn't have that. So, you know, I think it's hard just to rely on some of the things of the past. And again, look, I've said this before and I'll say it again. The NFL invests billions of dollars in scouting and has for, you know, years. And still, they get the quarterback situation wrong most of the time. You're never going to get that right all the time, going back to the prior caller as well. Because, you know, if you think about it, Clemson landed Deshaun, they landed Trevor. That's part of the secret sauce in Clemson winning national championships, the main part, actually. And then the rest is filled in around that. Well, Clemson thought they had similarly talented guys in DJ Uiagalelei and Cade Klubnik. The reality is they weren't. So they played more like three-star guys than the five-star guys they were alleged to be. And Deshaun and Trevor played more like, you know, high five-star guys, the highest five-star guys. I mean, you're talking about two of the greatest quarterbacks in college football history. It's hard to repeat that. But for Clemson to win national championships and to be at the highest level, they have to have that because Clemson's recruiting is always going to fall between 7 and 15. And so we all talk about the portal, and I think the portal is the biggest thing now. But we all talk about the portal, but you could make the case that the portal wasn't necessarily the biggest thing in the decline, but rather the missing on Uiagalelei and Cade Klubnik. And missing's the wrong word because those guys were supposed to be all world coming out of high school. And there's plenty of evidence that they were. They just didn't play up to that level collegiately. Now, there were some other factors in their worlds. The receivers were problems. They couldn't stay healthy. They didn't develop. You know, some of the receivers were bust. There were major injury issues. All of these are factors in it. And, you know, how you weigh and balance what each factor how important each factor was in the overall recipe of a bit of a decline. Now, that's up to you. But I think that's certainly been a part of the issue. Now, though, in this new world order, I don't know that you have time to sit back and develop. You know, Ben was talking about the speed now that you have to put, and I agree with that. I think we have what I call a speed dating world. You know, there's no courtship anymore. There's no time for that. See, here's the thing. If you bring a guy in and your plan is to develop him and you hope that by his redshirt junior season, he becomes the productive player you're looking for. First of all, that's a hope. That's not a guarantee. That's you hope he tracks, he stays, he does the right thing, he becomes a good player by his redshirt junior year. The problem with that is that other people are going out and getting instant fixes for that same position. guys that are experienced, that have played college football, that you already know what they are and that they're physically and mentally ready to compete now. And what we are learning is this stuff about culture and stuff, it doesn't seem to matter. It's being done all over the place. So I don't think you can – the culture thing, I don't know if it holds any weight anymore because it's being proven all over that you can do this thing. I mean, Deion Sanders just did it again. He just changed his whole friggin' team. He started 11 fresh guys on defense. This is so ridiculously stupid, but it's true. He started 11 new transfers on defense. And those 11 new transfers walked into Georgia Tech in front of a sellout stadium and kicked their butt. They look like they've been playing together for years. And people think Deion can't coach and his assistants can't coach. Well, I'll tell you what, that staff looked great in game one. And somehow they did it. So my point is, it's not just Kiffin doing it. It's being done everywhere. And we're seeing these dramatic roster overhauls. I mean, you know, Louisville started a whole new offensive line. A transfer portal offensive line. And a transfer portal quarterback. That, quite frankly, Clemson could have had and was in their range. And is... Keynotes, as you watch in the second half, there's no way on God's green earth that either of these Clemson quarterbacks this year are going to be anywhere near the player that Keynotes is. Just not. Right? They're not going to be Prabula. Who's next here, Ramona? It is Noah by a whisker over Clark. Noah!
Well, how we doing, brother?
Good, Noah. Appreciate you getting in. Actually, it's Noah number one. There's two Noahs on. We have multiple Noahs on hold.
I just figured I'd call and say how cute it was that man called in and defended his boyfriend. I thought that was very cute. I wish my girlfriend would call and defend me on the radio like that. That makes my heart warm.
There you go.
But I got some actual questions. First one is, Ohio State, Texas. How are you feeling about that game this week?
I'm taking Texas. I don't believe that Sarkisian can't win big games. I believe he can. I thought that he would be the guy to turn Texas around. He has been that guy. He has Texas on the verge of national championship, and he might win it this year. I think that I watched this game last year. Texas probably could have, would have, should have won it at Ohio State. It was a low-scoring defensive battle. I want to say that Ohio State won 14-7, but Texas was inside the 10-yard line multiple times and came away without points. Now you move forward a year, and now we're heading towards a different football game. Those were two first-time starting quarterbacks, talented though they were, in Arch Manning and Julian Sand. Neither one were ready for primetime at that particular moment, and it was very much a defensive battle. I don't think that's
going to
be
my next question.
Right. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I'm curious what that point total is. I haven't seen it, but I'm inclined to think it will go over because I think both teams, the strengths have switched. I think the strengths have switched to offense now. I think both teams are better offensively than they are defensively, and I think that's particularly true of Ohio State, who just hasn't been tested yet at all. But I think that this is the revenge spot in Austin, and I think Texas holds home serve. And I think they have the weapons now to match Ohio State, and I still think that at the end of the day, my concern for Ohio State is I think they lost four basically irreplaceable players off that defense in the last draft.
Yeah, I mean that was my follow-up question was, am I weird? Is it wrong for me to feel like this is going to be a shootout? Almost,
no.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's going to come down to who can get one stop rather than who can get
right.
one touchdown.
Right. If I had to guess right now, Noah, and again I've not looked at the total, but if I had to guess, my play would be, I think Texas wins like 27-24.
Okay.
Maybe higher. No. Yeah, I don't think this game is going to be at all similar to last year's game. Almost the complete opposite.
Yes, sir. And then my next college question is, does Michigan, Oklahoma this week, does that not kind of feel trappy based on the line with how Michigan looked and like what Oklahoma is. Like, am I crazy for thinking that's a little bit of a trap game?
It looks that way, but don't outthink yourself on this one. I think Michigan has major problems.
They lose, their season ends, right? I mean,
right, but I don't think there's anything they can do about it. I mean, you know, Whittingham is threatening to bench Underwood this week. Underwood responded really poorly to that, and I had heard again. I did not rank Michigan in my preseason poll, and one of the reasons I did, with two reasons. One, I didn't like the schedule, but two, I was concerned about Underwood, as I expressed, because I was hearing things out of the Michigan camp that said he was not playing well. Okay, so now I get a guy who put up 13 points, which included a Hail Mary to beat Western Michigan, and now they're going to play an Oklahoma defense that is probably the best defense in the country. I don't think they're in any way, shape, or form. They couldn't run the ball on Western Michigan. They have talented backs. They could not run on Western Michigan. If you can't run on Western Michigan and your quarterback doesn't look good, I think Oklahoma with Satenga and that whole group now has some chemistry and more offense. I think it's like 31-7.
And that was my thought, is like, is Venables not just going to pin the ears back on them defenders and just send them? Because, like, what were they doing last week? Like, if they couldn't stop Western Michigan, oh, my gosh, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and now, to be clear, I like that Western Michigan team. I put them in my close but no cigar. I put them in the same category I put Michigan before the season began. They won that league last year, and I think that's a good football team. I really do. I think they'll win every game they play.
But you would admit though, Walt, even though that's a good football team,
they're not Oklahoma.
Apples to oranges in comparison to Oklahoma.
Yeah, 100%.
Apples to oranges. There's no comparison.
And when I have a quarterback who has no confidence at all, whose coach is thinking of benching him after game one, and now you tell me your next game is Oklahoma, I don't think that bodes well for you.
Yeah, I don't like it either. And then my last question, and it's NFL-based. How you feeling about tonight? Do you think we'll get more points than we did last night, even though they're in Australia? I mean, that was just miserable to watch last night.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of games played in other countries, Noah, when it comes to predictions. I said the same thing when we watched TCU in North Carolina. I advised people not to lay those points with TCU because there was just so much uncertainty, and this is the same type of uncertainty. So I will be.
You know what I hate more than overseas games, Walt?
What's that?
Overseas games, divisional games.
Yeah.
Overseas divisional games. That is just dumb to me.
Yeah.
I'll take the rest off the air. I hope you have a great week.
Thank
brother.
You, Noah. You too. All right, lines remain jammed. I have to go to break. I'll be right back and get to you and your calls.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts?
Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan?
Whatever the reason,
give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line
at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar,
where your voice is always heard.
Hey, let me tell you about my friend Nick Lavery. Trump said last night.
President said this?
Yes, I think you'll find this very interesting. Near the end of his nearly 2 hour long speech last night, near the end of that, he offered this nugget, Ramona.
What was this?
If the Republicans win the Senate and the House on November 3rd, out of all of the resources they've garnered from, all this investment and stuff, he's going to award the Trump dividend to every adult citizen.
What does that mean for me?
$5,000.
I'm going to get $5,000?
That's what he's saying. I thought you would find that.
I
thought you would like that.
So I'll get it from Trump.
That's right. I thought you would like that.
I do. Yeah.
I think Trump's going to have a lot of new fans today.
I think so, too.
A lot of these people are deleting their accounts as we speak. all the F Trump stuff being deleted
right
now.
I'm going to go make sure my ID is up to date.
We'll see if that ever happens, but it's pretty interesting.
I like it.
Yeah, to the phones. It's Clark, Noah, Todd, Matt, etc. Clark, how are you, Clark? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt, just cruising down the Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
I just passed the Roy bus on the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. It broke down. The Roy bus is broke down. I pulled over and asked him. I said, "You guys need something?" He said, "Yeah. Can you give us a tow in?" I said, "Yeah. Well, you might want to call the portal on that one."
Oh, that's low.
But anyway, you know, I was talking to some guys at work, and I mean, it's not hard. I mean, it's a simple fix. You just got to go. There's an old saying, you got to pay to play. And that's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see any other way around it. You know, Graham Neff, he's got to grow a set, and he's got to tell Dabo, look here, we got to change. If it ever changes back to the way you want it to be, that's all fine and good. But right now, all these 83,000 fans that come here when we have home games, they could care less who graduates, Walt.
I think there's some truth to that. I think
they want to see some hardware.
Yeah, I think Clemson's going to have to really go all in and attack the portal moving forward. I think Dabo Swinney's the guy you want coaching this team moving into a new time period, but I think that you have to be able to fight fairly. And I think Clemson's been trying to do it the right way, but the right way in this world means you're fighting with one hand against everybody else who's fighting with two.
Nice guys finish last, Walt.
Yeah.
Past Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Well, it's probably true.
Anyway, I'm kind of sitting on the edge for Saturday night. You know, Georgia Southern, they're going to come in there to win, no doubt. But Clemson, they're kind of vulnerable right now. We'll see what happens. But anyway, love the show, guys.
Thank you, Clark. Good talking to you. Back to the phones. And what did I say, Ramona? It's Noah, right? Noah, how are you, Noah? Good to have you.
Hey, well, I appreciate you getting me in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was telling Ramona, you know, there's like your identification at the Roar is, you know, your name and where you live. And, you know, I had to change my pronouns because I moved from Taylor's Central. But nonetheless, I love listening to your show when I can.
Thank you, man.
I don't ever get much of a chance because, you know, just the way my schedule works and everything. But it's funny because
that's why we have the podcast. Don't forget that.
Well, yeah, but like your show, I like calling in your show because it challenges my sports knowledge.
And thank
it challenges my.
That's
like,
a
I
nice
wanna,
thing to
say. At some point in my life, I'd like to do something like this, whether it's just a podcast or something. And I want to make sure that my takes are correct and you know, they sound like I know what I'm doing. But I want to tell you this. I already know what you're going to say. We're going to get beat by Alabama on Saturday. There's no doubt about it. I think Alabama is clearly the better team. But I do think that with our offensive line, we can do.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, by the way. No, I'm not saying that.
You're really not? Okay.
No, I'm not high on Alabama. I'm not high on DeBoer. I do like Russell, the quarterback. His athleticism has opened up their run game. They had no run game at all last year, and they were going to have no run game again. They do have better talent, better young talent back there. The freshman kid is unbelievable. But Russell changes the dynamic because of his ability to put eyes on him defensively. You know, he rushed for 80-something yards in the opener. But I still think that's against a bad East Carolina team, and that is a bad East Carolina team. Any team that has 54-year-old Griffiths quarterback in them is a bad team. That's not what Kentucky is. Kentucky has Kenny Minchie, and I think Minchie is a problem, and I think he's going to be a problem for Alabama. I'm not sure. I actually think Kentucky may have the best quarterback in this game. Not long-term, but in terms of right now, I think I might trust Minchie at home more than I trust Russell on the road. We shall see about that. They still have some of the same bugaboos. Ryan Coleman-Williams can't catch if he plays it in his hands. And the other thing that I think about this game, Noah, I think you were getting to this, when I look at the physical makeup of Kentucky. Kentucky is a big, powerful team at the line of scrimmage. And therefore, I think they can compete with Alabama at the line of scrimmage.
Well, and I tell you this. I've always said, so from, because it would have been Patrick Toles. Because Patrick Toles was one of the last quarterbacks we had that was not a transfer.
Yeah.
And Patrick Toles had the disease of, I like to call it the 5-0 disease, where we would always start out the season 5-0, and then we'd somehow go 5-7. And the thing that's funny is like, I used to tell my dad, I'd be like, dude, we could beat the freaking Dynasty Patriots as long as it's in the first five games.
5-0 disease.
And the thing is, and I've always kind of thought that about Kentucky. We, for whatever reason, we play our best football in the month of September, you know, maybe the first part of October.
Well, and the reason I think you're playing lesser teams.
True. But the thing that I think what sets us up for at least a close game Saturday, because I agree with what you said, but it's funny because it's kind of the reverse effect. So when Kentucky basketball always gets well, it's Kentucky, so they're always going to get the edge because it's Kentucky basketball. Same thing with Alabama football. I'm always going to give it to Alabama, unfortunately, but I do believe that we have Alabama at the right time, because if there's a time for Stein to really get the crowd going, really get this thing going in the gear, it's his second game of his whole head coaching career, but it's his first SEC game. I'm curious, though, and I'll take this off the air. If there was a situation in which, like, I guess the better way to put this is our weak link. What do you think our weak link is right now? And if that is it weak enough to where Alabama could take advantage of it and win the game? And I'll take your comments. But I appreciate you.
Thank you, Noah. Yeah, I don't know if we know the answer to that yet, Noah, because I don't think Kentucky's been tested enough. But again, the reason I think they have a chance to compete is mainly three things. One, it's Stein. I think he gives them confidence, and I think he gives them offensive confidence. And look, we all know that the problem during the Stoops era was offense. That's been the problem. I mean, most of the Stoops era, they were good enough defensively. They just weren't good enough offensively. A lot of that came down to quarterback play and sometimes sort of an archaic-looking offense. I think Stein changes that dynamic, and I think in Minshew you have a dual-threat quarterback who poses Alabama problems. Alabama's secondary is supposed to be the strength of their team, and on paper it is, but they actually had a couple significant busts in the game against East Carolina, one that resulted in a big play. So I want to see what that looks like, especially when challenged by a dual threat quarterback, a legitimate dual threat quarterback. I don't mean a scrub like a career quarterback like Griffiths. I'm talking about Minshew, who I think is Minshew can do some damage against Alabama. And, you know, and I don't think Alabama is great up front on either side of the ball. And I think that Kentucky has the size and the physicality on both lines. I mean, you got a 350-pound nose tackle. The offensive line are all SEC transfer-type guys, and they're all 320-plus pounds. I think that Kentucky has the size and the physicality to at least compete with Alabama up front. Therefore, I think it's going to be a close game, much closer than people think. And I'm not picking this just because I've said negative things about Alabama, and I want to be right about that. I try and look at every new week, even with teams that preseason I don't like. And look, again, I acknowledge there are a couple factors for Alabama right now that they didn't have before. The biggest is the Russell factor. Russell is a true dual threat. He's dynamic. He reminds a little bit of Randall Cunningham, maybe a little bigger, stronger. I think he has talent. I think he's mature for his age. I think he knows the offense. I think there are a lot of things to like about him. And maybe he makes up for some of these other areas that I was concerned about. That could well be the case. I still don't know that because they whoop up on an East Carolina team, and I think it's going to be a bad team with Griffiths quarterbacking them. I just don't think that matters. at Kentucky. I think we're going to have a close game. I think it's like 24-21. That's my expectation. We'll talk more about that later. Hey, let me get to Simpsonville Todd and Matt on the other side. We'll do that when we get back.
They say you should never meet your heroes.
But is there a rule against hanging out with your favorite radio host?
Check out our remote calendar on theroarfm.com to find out.
Forced to jump out of buildings because they had no choice. They chose to choose their way to die because the one was worse than the other. Sights and sounds that for those of us who lived through it, we will never forget. For those who didn't live through it, they need to be educated on it so that they never forget. And it needs to be passed on so that none of it ever happens again. And that people have great awareness at all times. That's what's necessary to protect ourselves in an increasingly dangerous world. And as always, on 9/11, we will do our memorial show, and that will be tomorrow. And of course, we always encourage you to get in with your stories about 9/11 and your memories and your recollections, your experiences, as well as any sports that you want to discuss tomorrow. It's always open on 9/11, and it will be so tomorrow. But we have some things that we put together that we play every year on 9/11 that, you know, Ramona, all these years later, it never gets easier to hear it. Never. I go through the same range of overwhelming sadness and overwhelming anger every time I hear the voices. I hear the voices of those who...
I agree with you. It makes me sad.
It never, ever gets easier. It doesn't matter how many times I've done this. I do it every... It never gets easier. It just doesn't. Todd in Simpsonville. Todd, how are you, Todd? Good to have you.
I'm doing fine. I hope you and Ramona's doing great.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate you
taking my call. All I was going to ask is, I've got a diehard brother that's a Clemson fan, and I'm just a Coastal Carolina fan, so I don't have... I'm a little dog in the big dog fight, but anyway... He's trying to tell me that, I don't know this, that's why I'm asking you. He's saying the ACC teams only make about $30 million a year, and the SEC makes about $50 million. So he's trying to tell me until Clemson drops out of the ACC and joins the SEC.
Yeah, that's not it.
They cannot ever compete.
Yeah, that's false, because Indiana last year didn't have that type of money. In theory he's right about, you know, the league dispersals and revenue. The figures aren't right, but you know, generally speaking, he's right about the distinction. But it's false that you can't compete. That's not what happened on Saturday night. Clemson needs to hit the portal. That's the new world order, and they need to attack it more. And because you just don't have time to develop players anymore. That's the real deal. We watched Indiana win national championship last year.
I appreciate Dabo's values. I really like him a lot. But do you think he would ever go that route to try and
I think he's going to have to if the goal is competing at the highest level of college football. And I want him to run this program forever. But I do think that they're going to have to adopt a different perspective on that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you, Todd. Good talking to you. Matt in Greenville and then Tar Heel Chad, both right now. Matt, how are you, Matt? Good to have you.
Hey, Walt. Thanks for getting me in.
Absolutely.
I'd be the guy on Oregon Trail with the consumption this week. So I'll get through as best as I can. Joe would still die, by the way. So. He wouldn't make it out of Missouri. I say that. Just a few thoughts real quick. I was a young kid on 9/11. I was probably a freshman in high school. I remember growing up in that era. But, you know, the legacy of I got work opportunity where I met a lot of NYPD retired officers, and just listening to their stories, they're giants. They ran in those buildings, and 50,000 people worked in those buildings. They evacuated a ton of people, and they knew they were going to die.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a new story tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a new story tomorrow, but you're 100% right, Matt. It's, look, it's against who we are by nature, as all those people rightfully ran away from the fray. All those first responders ran into it.
Yeah, and like seeing the stories of them seeing their friends, and they're like, "Yeah, we're going to die today,"
yep.
And they went up those stairs anyway.
Yep.
So that's a different kind of America that we need to remember. As long as we have heroes, we still need to echo their names.
That's right.
And, you know, having Pat Tillman growing up, his story, I don't think we would see an NFL player do that today.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always a hero for me growing up. Just real. Touch on some games this weekend. Some games that I'm going to get out on a limb, Walt. I'm going to say Arizona upset BYU this weekend.
Wow.
I got faith in my quarterback, in the quarterback of Fafita. I think they're going to do better. I think it's going to be a close one, Walt, but I think they finally do it. I know nobody wins in Utah for them. But Mississippi State, Minnesota is going to be a good game, too. I think Mississippi State got more offense. But that's going to be a good game to watch.
I think that's one of the more underrated games of the weekend.
Absolutely.
I think you have two really gifted quarterbacks, and I think that's one of the more interesting games the entire weekend. I love this Arizona team. I rank them. I just can't see them going into BYU and winning.
I'm hoping. I mean, but I'll go out on the limb. Notre Dame or North Dakota State and the Air Force play.
That's a good game. That's a real good game.
Yeah. Late game. Yeah. North Dakota State. If they're big enough, I mean, they're obviously bigger, but Air Force is disciplined and does the triple option. That's a good one. And another one, Boise State at Memphis. I believe you got really good coaching staffs there.
I think it's Boise State. I may be wrong, but
it's going to be a good game, in my opinion, to see. But I was going to just give you my two Super Bowl picks since we're starting NFL. Houston represents the AFC because even Stroud can't screw up the good defense he got there. And I think L.A., my Colts are going to be in the bottom. I still want to give you the most underrated players a week from now. But I think Sonny Jurgensen is one of the most underrated quarterbacks of all time. But I appreciate Walt.
And the only good redheaded quarterback of all time, too. How about that? Tar Heel Chad. Chad, how are you, Chad? Good to have you.
Louisville Cardinals, impressed the crap out of me the other night, because that Ole Miss team has athletes everywhere all over the field. And I know Ole Miss had some injuries during the game, some key injuries that probably – held that. I still don't know how they blew a 14-point lead. It kind of screwed me on as I laid the points that night. However, the Cardinals, I mean, college football has changed again. I mean, you've got to be able to run the ball, and Louisville's got three hammers now with the quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know how Louisville is going to be tough in the league. I mean, did you pick them second behind Miami?
I did, yeah. I had Miami and Louisville in the championship game before the year.
I don't see that changing. I mean, I know Virginia's got, you know, 30-year-old men playing offensive line. I just felt Louisville.
I thought Keenholz
dynamic.
Yeah, I thought Keenholz in the second half was just, he might have been the best player on the field in the second half, and that's saying something. So, in fact, in our map poll this week that I'm a participant in, we have Louisville ranked 23. I ranked them 12. I not only didn't drop them, I actually raised them. I saw no reason to drop them. I thought that they and Ole Miss played a dead even football game, and somebody had to win and somebody had to lose. Well, I have Ole Miss as a playoff team, so I think Louisville is right there. I think they're that good.
These teams in ACC with that quarterback and those two running backs laying on you, down after down. I'm telling Day, where did Ryan Day, did he just hide the quarterback? What, did they hide him up there?
Yes, they did. They did. You know, and I said before the season, I think Louisville is the best running back room in America with the two Browns. I think I ranked one of them two nationally and the other four. So, I think Louisville is going to be a problem.
Louisville is legit, and maybe this won't play out, has a chance to be a playoff team.
I agree.
That's how I think. Yep. Don't you think they have the talent?
I do.
I do too.
And the athleticism almost across the board. Yep. I think that's a really good football team. It's only going to get better. So I'm with you, Chad. Yep, 100%.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
Thanks, Jim. Good talking to you as always. All right, we will take a break here. When we get back, it is Zeke and Craig coming right up.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Folks, seasons change, but what doesn't change is Elkmont. Well, except for it maybe getting even better. There's a reason Elkmont has earned the tagline, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't.